Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Warning: Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. We spent about 10 minutes talking about Taco Bell before we started the podcast, so I'm hungry now. But how are you? How has your week been? What's been going on?
I'm good. I was just saying how I think we need a Taco Bell sponsorship.
I know.
I'm a Taco Bell fiend. And if Taco Bell doesn't know this yet,
Yeah, straight up. We were talking a little bit about it, but if you have not seen their cravings menu they have now, the double stack taco, dude, get it. The stacker. It's back to like, it's like $2.50. Like it'll,
my bean burritos used to be 99 cents. Now they're like $3.
And that's what I'm saying. I know it's never going to be back to like, you know, 99 cent burrito or whatever, but when it gets down to 250, like,
it's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Like I had some serious shame because I could go to Taco Bell for one person and spend like $30.
I used to be able to tell you exactly what my purchase was and how much it cost. And then I'd be like, why isn't it that much anymore? I'm like, oh, inflation. Inflation's happening.
Yeah. So, you know, I know it's never going to go back to like they used to have. I don't know if anybody listening remembers, but chili cheese burritos. And it was just like it was literally like a big tortilla with like real meaty chili and then cheese inside. And they would roll it up and it was like 99 cents. And we would get 7-8 of them. Like, and
that
just
kinda sounds like an enchirito without the sauce on top.
I don't know. This is the best thing. I dream about this because they have not brought it back since they discontinued it. And there are nights where I'm just like in my sleep, like, oh, I'm chili cheese burrito. Just like, just like that's all I want. You know what I mean?
See, you just got to be a basic Taco Bell orderer, bean burritos, extra onions, extra red sauce. And then they don't discontinue it. If you get rid of a bean burrito, there's something wrong with Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's why I stick with the crunch wrap for the most part. And then I'm just normally, until they beefed up the cravings menu, I've normally just been like, I'll do like four hard tacos.
Their cantina menu is pretty good. And also, if you don't know, the double decker's back for a limited time till the end of the month.
Yeah, we're recording this on the 23rd. You have 8 days. Yeah, get in there, get that double decker.
Get your double decker.
But yeah, no, it's God, I'm so hungry. As soon as we're done with it, I can't because I ate at home.
You can't. It's too late.
Yep.
I had me on.
Yeah, I had potato soup, so I've already eaten. I can't go to Taco Bell, no matter how bad I might want to. But
just think about it for lunch tomorrow. Lunch.
Yeah, I gotta work. I only get 30 minutes lunch, so I don't have time. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's when I reached an all-time low, and I will say I used to be like, I'm never door dashing fast food. I'm like all the time.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I've ever told you this or said it on the podcast, but I got around COVID. I got a message that was like, thank you for being the number one Uber Eats user in your area. And I was like, I was like, that's not good. So I laid off pretty every once in a while. Like, you know, if it's real late or we just really don't want to go out, I'll DoorDash every once in a while, but it's just, you know, so expensive, like four tacos, $95. I'm like, I'm good.
So. Like, I just spent how much at Taco Bell?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's fine. But like you said, we need Taco Bell to sponsor us because then, you know, we don't have to worry about it. So if you're...
Oh my gosh, Taco Bell, I eat there like twice a week. I'm not even exaggerating. And I would eat there every day if I could, if it was free or on the house or however, or I got free tacos, free bean burritos for a year. I would eat it every day. I would. I literally would.
Yeah, it's funny because we were talking a little bit before about like, you know, how you don't have the personality to be like an influencer or anything.
Yeah, I was talking about how I should become an influencer so I can get some free stuff. And I'm like, I just can't. I just can't.
But I will say if it was Taco Bell, I think you'd be like, I will influence the shit out of
me eating my burrito.
Right. Look at this.
Look at my swag. Look at my cool sweatshirt. Yeah. I mean, they're missing out. I will say my people on the TV show had a little like the guys had this night one time with Taco Bell and it was like a football thing. I don't know, like a year or two ago. And I'm like, did they even eat Taco Bell? I love my boys, but like, do they even eat Taco Bell?
Just shading up because we're a little jealous of the Taco Bell love.
100%. I was jealous of that. I'm like, I don't give a shit about half the other stuff. Excuse my French that the other influencers are doing, but I'm like, Taco Bell, that's my jam.
Yeah.
I want free Taco Bell.
I know. That's the other thing, too, is like I have a really hard time where people are like, get the cantina, get the fresca. I was like,
I don't like change.
Well, I tried them,
but I don't like change.
Don't try to trick me. Don't try to tell me that like all of a sudden this is like a healthy thing that I'm getting at Taco Bell. It's still Taco Bell.
I've been anti-meat at Taco Bell for years, but the chicken cantina stuff's pretty good.
Dude, I don't care if it is dog food. I will elbow that up. It is so good.
Put some mild sauce on it, some nacho cheese, call it a day.
Is it weird that I don't use sauce? I'm not a sauce guy. I don't use mild, hot, nothing. Give me the nacho cheese. Weird. I dive on in there.
I only do so mild, good. And I get so mad when they put the wrong sauce in there. I'm like, I specifically asked for mild.
Yeah.
Not hot.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it. I want the, like, it's not my thing. I don't know.
I think I talked about it on the show when I had 3 bottles of mild Taco Bell sauce show up at my house.
No.
Oh, yeah. So after I did Married at First Sight, I randomly got a package with no like return name or anything. It just came from Walmart and it was shipped to my house and it was 3 bottles of the Taco Bell mild sauce. And I'm like, okay, this is creeping me out. Like, who knows where I live? Is my address that Googleable? Like, what the hell? So like I posted on Facebook. Did anybody I know like do this? I posted on Instagram. Did anybody I know do this? Like who sent me a Taco Bell sauce? Turns out my friends who come and stay with me that used to live here came and stayed with me after they moved away. And he made fun of me because I had a Ziploc baggie of my Taco Bell packets, my sauce packets. And so he thought that I needed some Taco Bell sauce. So then he was like, oh no, that was me. And I'm like, well, next time say something.
Yeah. Put a name on it.
Put a name on it. Because now I'm thinking I got a stalker who knows that I like mild Taco Bell sauce and sent me 3 glass jars of it.
At least it's considerate. Where it's like,
he thought it was hilarious.
I mean,
shout out Chris Baker.
That's a considerate stalker. If that was the case, they're like, I know this is her favorite thing.
I know what she wants. I'm going to send her 3 bottles.
It could be dirty underwear and human hair, but instead you got, but I mean, plastic.
Like, they know me well.
But I mean, you're living big. If you have a plastic bag, you know, the butter container in your refrigerator, just the butter.
Oh, I don't have one of those. I got one of these fancy fridges. I don't have that.
Oh, well, pardon me.
I didn't buy it. It came with the house. But yes, that's where that stuff goes. All your junk goes in there.
Oh, yeah. It is just filled. It's like Cracker Barrel syrup and Taco Bell sauce and Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, all the Chick-fil-A sauces. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. We could go on forever.
But, yeah. Anyway, we said say Taco
We're
Bell
here
if you're
for
listening.
A Halloween short on time.
Yeah. So with that being said, I guess we can quit the Gabby Gabby and get into the stabby for this stabby. Week's episode. But this week, because of some scheduling stuff, I was actually doing the short on time. Olivia is going to be doing the short on time for Monday. We're actually flipping it around a little bit because we're going to have our special Halloween guest, Jessica Gomez. We're flipping them so her episode can actually drop on Halloween Day. So super excited, but sorry about the flip-flopping there. We just want to accommodate and kind of make it special if we can, but we're sticking on the theme. We are keeping with the holiday trend of Halloween. Olivia, I don't know if you had a chance to look at my notes. I know you usually don't, but did you see anything that looked familiar or anything like that?
The only thing that I saw that looked familiar is we're going to where I'm at. We're going to my neck of the woods this week.
We are. So what do you say? Should we just jump on into it, break down this week's case?
I think so.
All right, let's do it. For this week's Short on Time case, we're heading to Baton Rouge, Louisiana in October of 1992. Yoshiro Hattori, or Yoshi, was a 16-year-old Japanese exchange student. He had taken a test for the American Field Service, a worldwide exchange organization for young people. Yoshi also submitted an entrance paper. In it, he wrote, "Wherever I go, I wish I could make the country a second home country. I can make Japanese cooking tempura cutlet for host families and introduce the living ways of the Japanese." Yoshi was accepted in the program, and in 1992, he packed his bags to spend a year in the United States. He landed in Texas, where his host family met him, the Haymakers. And with Yoshi in tow, they made the commute back to Baton Rouge. The Haymakers had hosted exchange students before, but Yoshi made an immediate impression on the family. In an interview, Dr. Holly Haymaker said that Yoshi was very extroverted. Kids at school loved him because of his free-spirited nature. Now, in Japan, he played rugby, but in the United States, Yoshi began taking jazz dancing classes, and he would often dance around from place to place. The Haymaker's son, Webb, made quick friends with the exchange student. Webb was also 16, and the pair bonded by going to a blues music festival the month before. Yoshi also met another Japanese exchange student, and the teenager was adjusting nicely and making friends. In fact, both Yoshi and Webb would be invited to a Halloween party. So on Saturday, October 17th, Dr. Holly Haymaker and her husband Dick left the house to see a movie, while Webb and Yoshi made their way to the party. Now, Yoshi had taken a liking to the films of John Travolta, so for Halloween, he dressed as his character from Saturday Night Fever. Webb dressed as an accident victim, wearing a neck brace and bandages. They would eventually find themselves on a neighborhood street looking for the party. And it was then that they noticed a house with several decorations and multiple cars in the driveway. But unbeknownst to the boys, they were about to approach the wrong home. The address for the party was 10131, but they had arrived at 10311. Webb and Yoshi knocked on the door, but got no answer. And it was then that they noticed a woman looking out of the home's garage door. Yoshi and Webb turned to leave, but just then the door flew open, and a man holding a .44 Magnum stood on the front porch. This was 30-year-old Rodney Paris, a butcher at a local grocery store. Yoshi turned and, not understanding what was happening, began singing, "We're here for the party! We're here for the party!" Paris raised the gun and yelled for the teenager to freeze. And again, not realizing the situation that he was in, Yoshi continued to dance towards the home. It was then that Paris fired a single shot from his handgun, striking Yoshi in the chest. Paris then retreated into the home and slammed the door behind him, and sadly, Yoshi would succumb to his injuries. Webb was unharmed. Yoshi's parents, Masa and Miko Hattori, were in the United States only 2 days later. Police questioned Rodney Paris, who admitted to the shooting, but claimed he thought that the teenagers were intruders. Now, originally, the police let him go with no charges, but Yoshi's death made headlines around the world. And with the pressure from the governor of Louisiana and the Japanese consul, Paris would be arrested and charged with manslaughter. The trial would last for 4 days, and Rodney Paris would take the stand to testify, during which he said, "I wanted him to stop. He didn't. He kept coming. The next thing I remember, I was scared to death. This person was not going to stop. This person was going to do harm to me. I felt I had no choice." But the prosecution argued that Paris's actions were thoughtless. Pointing to the fact that he never asked the boys who they were or what they were doing, he simply grabbed his gun, pointed, and fired. When closing arguments were completed, the jury deliberated for just over 3 hours. And in May of 1993, the decision was made to acquit Rodney Paris. After the announcement, outside of the courtroom, Paris said that he would no longer use guns. And he told the victim's family that he was very sorry that any of these events had taken place. Now, the ruling came as a shock to both the Hattoris and the Haymakers. But surprisingly, the tragedy of losing Yoshi brought the two families closer together. And they would work side by side to advocate for stricter gun control. In fact, their work would contribute to the passing of the Brady Handgun Violence Prevention Act. And this act mandated that background checks on gun buyers be done, as well as 5-day waiting periods on all purchases. And President Bill Clinton would sign it into law just weeks after meeting with the Hattoris and the Haymakers. Additionally, the Hattoris launched a civil suit against Rodney Paris, his wife Bonnie, and their insurance company. Surprisingly, the insurer would end up paying out $100,000, none of which the family kept. Instead, before leaving America for Japan, it was all donated to fund gun control measures. So, Olivia, that's this week's case. What are you thinking? Where's your head at?
I don't believe that I can really say where my head's at just because we're in politics season right now. But in 1992, I feel like that would not be a concern. Like if I was a parent sending my kid to the United States in the early 90s, that would be the last thing I think that I would be worried about. But I also can't really say because I was two in 92 or three. But I feel like then, like, if you were to tell me like this happened last week, I'd be like, oh no, duh, that's just the norm. Yeah. But it's just so devastating. You know, you're sending your kid to an exchange program and you expect them to be safe and taken care of. And like, all they were trying to do was go to a party. And like, shame on Rodney, who was 30 years old at the time, because like, you see, it's two teenagers just being like, we're here for the party. We're here for the party. Just excited. Like, no, like the party's not here. Like, read the room. The party's not here. So I don't know. It's a devastating story. I feel bad for the family and I'm glad that there were changes made. And I like when we have like actual changes in policies and stuff when people do wrong stuff, but I just feel bad for him.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, I didn't pick this case to do. I mean, honestly, this one got on my radar because, you know, they were going to a Halloween party and we're kind of sticking with the theme. I didn't pick this for any kind of political agenda. I will say that, you know, I'm not a huge gun person. You know what I mean? Like, I have like shot them and, you know, understand people use them for hunting and, you know, things like that. I also understand that, you know, I live in a world where, you know, my daughter today actually had her first active shooter school drill. So,
like that's not normal. We didn't grow up with that. No. You had your tornado drills, your fire drills. You don't need to know what to do if an active shooter comes. That's not okay.
Yeah.
But we don't need to go down this rabbit hole.
No. But I say all that to be like,
she's five, six. Really, yes. Six. She turned six yesterday.
Yes. And I say all that to say, like, I'm not anti-gun. I do, you know, believe that there are responsible gun owners out there. But I will say, you know, just looking at the polling, even, you know, even folks like me, even members of the NRA, when polled, are like, you know, we need to do something about gun violence and there needs to be stricter, you know, things in place. Right. It's just when you look at studies and stuff like that, that tends to be a consensus, right? So I did not pick this to, you know, sit on a soapbox or preach or anything like that. But I think especially with picking this case and then, you know, finding out when my daughter came home today that, you know, that was a big part of their day today. I was, you know, it just got the wheels turning. I'm also trying to put myself in Yoshi's shoes because in Japan, handguns are illegal unless it is some kind of, you know, certain circumstance. But you know, they don't have people over there like we do here that are just, you know, carrying handguns. And then thinking about the language barrier, you know, like in some of the research, Webb was talking, who is, you know, the friend that he was living with and his family. And Webb said, like, I don't know if he just didn't understand, like, because of the language barrier, or if he thought the gun was like part of a costume. But he was being very playful, just like, hey, I'm here for the party.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I think the other thing that really bothered me as well is like, I get it if somebody is trying to break into your house, right? If you catch somebody in the act and they are trying to They knocked on the door, turned around and were like facing him unarmed, you know? So it definitely sounds like Paris has some remorse for what he did, you know, and from what I understand of doing the research, this event by all accounts really changed him because I think we've talked about this before, just, you know, talking about serial killers and stuff like that. But like the actual act of taking someone's life has got to be something that just like changes you forever. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know if he was necessarily prepared for what that felt like after.
Yeah.
And it definitely seems like there was a big shift there. So I don't know. I just feel bad for this kid who came to America and he was, you know, excited about learning about the culture
and Halloween party.
Yeah. And like making friends and fitting in and, you know, wanting to share his culture with others. And, you know, it was just somebody who, I mean, to me, it's just like how scared of a kid, a 16-year-old kid dressed like John Travolta and another kid in a neck brace.
Right. Like, we're here to rob your house, friend.
Right. Like, I've got a neck. Like, I would be like, instead of holding up a gun, I'd be like, do you need me to call someone?
Are you okay? Did you just get into an accident?
Yeah. It looks like Saturday Night Fever just kicked the shit out of you. Like, you know, like, let me call somebody. But this guy was just so jumpy, you know, and it, I don't know. Like you said, for the 90s, I think that's part of the reason that it did hit so hard. Cause I mean, it made global news. Like people in Japan were raising money and signing petitions for gun control here in the States because of this. Like, it was huge. And I think, you know, now in the world that we live in, it's just like, oh yeah, it was a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like,
right. If you would have said today, 2024, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
But it was 1992 or 93, whatever year it was. But I also feel like, you know, I do think that Rodney had remorse, because for a gun toting Southern Louisianian to be like, I'm not using a gun anymore, that's huge. I mean, I have gun toting family members hunting, fishing. I'm from the country, basically. Like, it, that's a big deal for them to be like, I'm not using a gun ever again.
Yeah. Yeah, 110%. And like I said, when it comes to that particular issue, I'm pretty like centrist. Like, I'm like, you know, I believe that people should have the right to, you know, to protect themselves. I believe that you should be able to, you know, go hunting and fishing. But I'm also not blind to the fact that we have a crazy number of school shootings, mass shootings. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my daughter was literally describing what happened today, and like, my heart was breaking. I was just like, God, man.
Because they tell them the situation, I think. I
don't know if they
do. A six-year-old doesn't need to know what a mass shooter is. They don't need to know what that is.
They call it a lockdown drill, so they don't say, like, this is what it's for. But what she was telling me is that two of her friends in class, it seemed like they knew what that drill may have been for, because they were very afraid, and Millie held their hands, and one girl put her shoulder or her head on Millie's shoulder, and Millie was like, I just kept telling them, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And like, that's the thing where it's just like, damn, dude, you know what I mean? So, you know, like I said, I did not pick this for any kind of like political thing, but I think it just really kind of hit home because of the timing.
But if we're talking politics, go vote.
Yeah, go vote. Whoever you want. Yeah, just I will
go vote.
Yeah, exercise. You know, your exercise right your right to vote. But we're not telling you who to vote for.
We're not telling you who to vote for. Trust this, us, but yeah, go vote. This, just listen, go vote.
This podcast is pretty down the middle. We just, you know. Just we're all family, right? Families can think differently. So, you know, when we're thinking about the deadbolt test, something like this, where does a story like this fall for you, Olivia?
I'm going to put it at a 6.
Yeah, I'm going to.
What about you?
I'm going to come in a little bit lower. I think I'm going to put this 5 kind of right in the middle of the road, because it's not necessarily like I'm scared that this would happen to me, or I mean, maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe I
go trick or treating.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe now that I think about it, because like I'm sitting here being like, oh, I don't think this has happened to me. But like the whole reason
Yes, it could. You can't even turn around in people's driveways anymore, John.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you talk me into it. I'm going to meet you at a 6. We'll sit at a solid 6. I guess like the way I think about it, right, is like, I don't go to random things, right? So that's kind of why I was like, there's no chance I'm going to show up at the wrong house, because I very rarely agree to go to the right house. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going somewhere, I know exactly where I'm going.
Ditto.
But it is that thing of like, you know, my kid is going to be a teenager someday. And like, are you in the wrong place at the wrong time? You know, and are your intentions could be totally harmless, but somebody not know that, you know? So I'm with you. I think I'll put it at a 6 as well. But you talked me out of it. I was thinking 5, but then I was like, you know, this is bothering me a little bit more. Maybe something a little higher is warranted. So, well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's case. Olivia's coming in at a 6, and she kind of bullied me into a 6 as well. So
I'm not a bully.
No, you're not a bully. But we're coming in solid 6s. But of course, we got to throw it over to the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the death of Yoshi Hattori fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, well, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to spend some time with you, get to know you. Again, it's the best place on the internet. I, you know, kind of in the theme that we've been talking about, right? Like, obviously, we're a big group of people with different opinions and different beliefs on things. And one of the reasons I love our community so much is that we still find this way to connect. Everybody is kind to each other. And we live in a world right now that's very polarizing, right? So I feel very lucky to be part of this group where, you know, we all rally around the common thing that we have and are able to, you know, again, just be polite and courteous to each other, despite what differences we may have, you know, in the actual world. Right. So we would love to have you as a part of that group. It really does mean a lot to myself and Olivia that, you know, everyone who supports us there, we're able to foster that kind of community and conversation and things like that. So if you'd like to be a part of that, come hang out with us, because we would absolutely love to have you. And if you like what we do, you want to financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, stickers, coffee mugs. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, throw us a nickel, dime, whatever you want to do. patreon.com/checkthelocks, get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us means just as much, if not more. Again, the way that we're going to grow is that word of mouth. So if you are taking the time to share this show with the people who are important to you, just know it means the world. That's going to get us in front of new listeners. And again, just telling somebody, hey, check it out. It really, really helps us. So if that's what you're doing, you're spreading the word, just know that we appreciate you so very much. That is all that we have for you for this week's Short on Time case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying bite-sized true crime case, but until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.